Ladies and gentlemen, and fellow golfers, for your entertainment.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa, brought to you by the Hagen Oaks Golf Super Shop, America's most awarded golf facility. Naturewood Home Furnishings, where it's all about choices and always about quality.
Welcome into another edition of the Golf to Go Radio Hour right here on Sactown Sports 1140. Hi, everyone. I'm Frank Loboza along with my buddy Scott Marsh. And Scott, here we are back another hour to talk about golf.
You know, we're doing a lot of talking about because right now it's hard to play with all this weather. I mean, we're canceling rounds. Like, it's frustrating. I'm told we need the rain still, and that's fine and good, but I'd rather be out on the golf course, honestly.
Yeah, and as frustrated as we are, I'm sure the golf courses are feeling that kind of pressure as well, you know, to try and between storms get people out. In some cases, it's not the best experience, but, sometimes being out there is better than not, huh?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, again, it's like if it's somewhat bearable, you and I are gamers, so we're going to go. But boy, we've had some tough weather. There's no doubt about it.
On the show today, I'm really excited. I remember a friend, Lynn Christopoulos from El Macero Country Club, bumped into me one day and said, you know, I just caddied for my buddy at the AT&T National Pro-Am. I said, hey, who's your buddy? He said, well, Ron Rivera, head coach of the Washington Commanders. I said, well, that's a pretty good buddy to have. Apparently, they were roommates in college. And so we're going to have them on to talk about the experience of a couple of college roommates, tackling Pebble Beach and the AT&T National Pro-Am. And of course, I think there'll probably be a few questions about football for Riverboat Ron as well.
No doubt. This is going to be fantastic. I love Ron Rivera. He's a local guy. He grew up in Northern California. He played football at Cal, and he's just a wonderful human being on top of being a great coach and a former great player.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And, it's fun to kind of have folks like that on the show. And it makes us realize how universal the game actually is.
No question. And the Pebble Beach, you know, that's one of our favorite events. And it's near and dear to your heart, of course. And you've had Steve Young, who's played in that tournament. So it's been a lot of fun for us to experience it through others.
A couple of gentlemen here in Sacramento have also known each other for a long time. Dylan Rupchuk and Evan Ball. They are a couple of guys that just decided that the world needed another new golf ball and actually, you know, spent time designing and trying to find out who could manufacture it. And they are ready to go to the market. So as a matter of fact, they are on the market now. It's called Breakfast Balls. And it's really kind of a fascinating story. And they will be on the show today as well.
I can't wait to hear their story because I know how tough it is to start any business, but let alone in the golf business where there is so many great golf balls. And I'm looking forward to seeing what their niche is. And I always like to support locally owned companies.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And as you say, it's kind of the American dream to come up with an idea and actually get it to market. So, you know, kudos to them. Golf to Go Radio Hour is fully packed today with a lot of fun, and we will be back to get started right after this.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa on Sactown Sports.
Welcome back into the Golf to Go Radio Hour right here on Sactown Sports 1140. Hi, I'm Frank LaRosa along with Scott Marsh. And Scott, you know, I'm a member, an honorary member at El Macero, and was playing out there a couple of weeks ago. And I remember Lynn Christopoulos came up and he said, hey, Frank, guess what I just did? And he told me that he had caddied in the AT&T National Pro-Am for his college roommate, Amanda, whose name people will recognize, Ron Rivera, the head coach of the Washington Commanders. And I said, wow, what a great story. Let's get you all on the show. And so we finally were able to put it together. Welcome to Lynn Christopoulos and Ron Rivera.
Good to be here.
Thank you.
You know, you guys were roommates at Cal so many years ago, and I guess it speaks to to the longevity of your relationship that I'm guessing Lynn didn't reach out and say, "Hey, Ron, can I caddy for you?" I guess it's got to be the other way around. Huh?
No, you know what it was actually was we were actually spending some time together. You know, our wives, our families are very friendly. And, you know, some of those relationships, bonds that you build from your days back at back in college. And so it was an opportunity last summer. They came, they visited, and Stephanie had mentioned it to them. And so later on, he and his family and a couple of our other roommates and families came out to one of our games. And Stephanie has mentioned it to him again. And then, said, well, like I said, I'd love to caddy. And I said, well, I'd love to have you caddy. I think it'd be a lot of fun.
So you got to tell me, you know, it's just us here, Lynn. How was Ron as a player?
I tell you, Ron can hit the ball. Ron had a good ball striking week. And in our prep, in our morning prep on the range, he had a routine, certain clubs that he wanted to hit first. And he worked his way through the bag. And it was quite impressive how he was hitting the ball. Now, we all know about hitting the ball on the range being a little different than hitting it on the course, but it translated pretty well. And our first round was at Spy, and, you know, that downhill par five, a lot of people around, and coach hit the ball right down the gut, perfect shot. And it was a great start to our whole tournament down there.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to share any secrets, but I know you told me that once you got down to the first green and realized how far the second tee was, you thought you'd gotten yourself into something that would be more of a challenge.
Well, I didn't. The one thing, you know, I ride in the cart most of the time I play. I don't walk all that much. Carrying a bag, I was a little nervous about carrying it for 3 or 4 days. But it really wasn't bad. My adrenaline was flowing and we were feeling good. But that walk from that first green all the way up to that second tee at Spy was a little bit of a walk up that hill. And once we got up there, you know, I'm asking him what club he wants and I'm breathing pretty heavy. And he's just giggling at me going, "Are you all right over there?" but we made it work. I got through it.
You know, this is a man that's a finely tuned athlete that spends his life around finely tuned athletes, and you were huffing and puffing. I'm not sure that's the that's the magic he was looking for there.
you know, Frank, he didn't tell you about either, though, is he got to meet one of his childhood or teenage years idols on the first tee at Spyglass.
And who was that?
That was Bill Murray.
Bill,
we were about 20 minutes behind. And the second group in front of us was DA points and Bill, and Bill came up to Ron, and, yeah, you know, being a Chicago fan, and Ron can tell you a little bit more about that, but had some real kind words to say. And then all of a sudden we meet, and the next thing you know, cameras are clicking and we're taking pictures. and I looked over at my wife and I just before, you know, 'cause she was on the outside looking in, and I said, did we just take pictures and videos with Bill Murray? Because I mean, I can go home now. I'm happy.
You know, Frank, make sure he shows you the picture, okay, of Bill rubbing his belly for him. look at the expression on his face, because it's pure joy, absolute joy. It's a great picture. It really is.
So when it got down to work, Ron, was how was his caddying skills?
They were excellent. They really were. I'm telling you, Frank, he's thinking about a second career. other than the huffing and puffing, he really was. And you know, the best part about it too is because, you know, I go fanboy every now and then on certain things. And when I was, you know, when you're inside the ropes on a golf course with professionals, you get a chance to watch them play. It's really cool. It really is. So, you know, and for Lynn, he went right up to the pros caddy and just asked for a couple of tips, a couple of reminders, a couple of things. And halfway through it, he had the caddies telling him, "Hey, dude, you're doing a great job." So he was he really did do a nice job.
Well, we know that Lynn fulfilled a lifelong dream. How about you, Ron? What was the best experience of playing in the AT&T National Pro-Am?
Well, first of all, I mean, I'm a local. I'm from down there. I'm from Fort Ord, California, is where I was born and raised for the most part. So Pebble Beach is like right down the street from where I grew up. So getting to be a local boy, come back home and get an opportunity to play in it, that was really, really cool. One of the things that I truly appreciated, though, is the imagination that players have. You know, it was the we were on the, I believe it was the fourth hole, the par three at Pebble Beach, the first par three. And I'd hit my drive off the tee into the sand trap. And I was looking to hit a wedge shot, you know, my sand wedge out, and I'm looking at the hole, and he looks, my pro says to me, Kevin Roy, and he says, "Coach, don't look at the hole. Play the ball over here." He says, "What happens is over here, it's a little safer shot. Secondly, if you hit the right shot, you get a chance for the ball to kick onto the green and roll to the hole." And my first thought was, "Yeah, but the hole's over here." But I did what I was told, and sure enough, I hit the right shot. The ball came out, landed in the fringe, kicked up onto the green, took the slope, and broke to the hole an inch away for a tap in par. And it made me realize their imagination, the way they see things. That was one of the most spectacular moments I had ever playing with a professional golfer.
So what you're telling me is the coach is coachable, huh?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So let's go back a few years when you guys were roommates at Cal. Did you have any idea at that time that you were going to be rooming with a guy who was an All-American and get drafted by the Bears and play with Walter Payton? And
well, the irony is that, you know, when we first met in the dorms, we were neighbors, and Ron was already an All-American linebacker. So we knew that going into his, you know, junior and senior year, that he was a pretty special football player. We knew he had a future in the NFL, but, you know, we didn't know to what degree. And I certainly wasn't thinking about him being a coach. We were just excited about him playing at some point and furthering his career. What happened was, and Ron can elaborate, but when Ron signed with the Bears, he bought a home in Berkeley and basically told Stephanie and us to, you know, to just live in the home. And we paid him a few bucks, which was a lot cheaper than we would have paid anybody else for housing in Berkeley at the time. And in the fall he played, and in the spring he came back and got his degree. And so we were off and on for the next couple, 2 to 3 years, living in that home that he owned. And that's truly where more of the memories of our college life really came from, is being together in that house.
We're talking with Ron Rivera, head coach of the NFL Washington Commanders, and Lynn Christopoulos, his college roommate and a member at El Macero Country Club. You know, Scott, I know you've been dying to talk to Ron about a certain play that happened while he was playing at Berkeley.
Oh, no doubt. You know, ESPN just had the recent documentary because it's the 40-year anniversary of the play. And I learned, you know, Coach, that you were such an instrumental part of that. It was such a great documentary. You were featured on it. And it's obviously maybe the most iconic play in college football history. What was it like to be there that day in that play to beat Stanford?
You know, first and foremost, you know, having gone to Cal, our number one rival being Stanford, to win and to win in the fashion we did is really been a spectacular thing. It's been a tremendous memory for me. But, you know, I was on the sideline watching the play unfold. One of my teammates, Richard Rogers, is actually one of my assistant coaches. He works with our defensive backs. And, you know, just watching it unfold and then the excitement, the thrill of it all, of winning because of the play, is something that just it resonates, and it will always be a very fond memory. It was a lot of fun. It was a tremendous moment. And I know it's the irony of it all is, you know, it took down probably one of the greatest college football players ever in John Elway.
Who refused to talk to the documentary still 40 years later.
Yes. You know, what's interesting was there's recently a book was written. It's a great book because it tells the story of it. It's called Five Laterals and a Trombone. And and it really is. It's a very good book. John Elway wrote one of the forwards, and I wrote the other forward. And it's a really neat book because it describes from the perspective of fans, of band members, of coaches, of players that watched that play go down. So it's really good. It was a very well written book, and it's it's worth the read. It really is.
You know, those names just sort of trip off your tongue. Elway, McMahon, Peyton. I mean, you were hanging around with some luminaries there.
I was very fortunate. You know, I played in what I think was probably the last real great era of professional football before things started to change with the money. And what happened was in 1993 is when the salary cap came into being, where you really saw the salaries get driven up, the money get really truly involved. I was fortunate enough to have had Walter Payton as a teammate, a Hall of Famer, and I played alongside guys like Mike Singletary and Dan Hampton on the defensive side. I mean, it was a tremendous experience. I played against guys like Joe Montana. I mean, you know, one of the all-time great, iconic quarterbacks in the NFL history. So there's a lot that I feel very fortunate and blessed to have gone through.
You know, you obviously had an incredible college career and were an All-American, then drafted by the Bears. But beyond your playing years, you coached the Carolina Panthers. You're the all-time leader in wins there. Coach of the Year, 2013 and 15, Super Bowl. You know, at this point, is there more satisfaction in coaching than playing, or is that a fair question even?
You know, it's funny because I've been asked that question in terms of going to the Super Bowl. You know, as a player, it's a lot more fun. You get to enjoy a lot more of it. As a coach, you work harder than you've ever worked before, at least in my opinion, because, you know, so much is at stake, and yet, you know, you never feel like you're fully prepared. So, I truly enjoyed the playing aspect because of the camaraderie you develop and you have with your teammates and your coaches for that matter. But as a coach, the satisfaction, true satisfaction, comes from not necessarily just winning games, but winning in the respect of watching the development and growth of your young men that work for you. That, to me, is really a cool thing.
We're talking with Ron Rivera, head coach of the NFL Washington Commanders, and Lynn Christopoulos, a member at El Macero Country Club. And we're going to take just a short break. When we come back, Ron, I want to ask you, who's the greatest football player you either saw or played with, or, you know, give me kind of your hierarchy. We'll be back with more on the Golf to Go Radio Hour right after this.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa on Sactown Sports.
Well, Golf to Go Radio Hour continues right here on Sactown Sports 1140. Scott Marsh. Can you imagine who we're talking to here today?
Always fun talking to the coach. Yeah. Ron, I have to ask you real quickly, because I know Frank's got a few questions. Was that 85 Bears defense the greatest defense still of all time in the NFL?
I think it is. I really do. I think, you know, the thing that I guess a lot of people will argue about that more so than anything else is just because of the fact that we only won one. And that's what the disappointment was, because at the time we were the youngest team to ever win a Super Bowl. And what happened was in 86 is when Jim McMahon tore his rotator cuff in his throwing arm, and which really was kind of what slowed us down more so than anything else was. And I believe this even more so now as a head coach. This is a quarterback driven league. If you don't have a quarterback that can manage games and then do something great to help you win a game or take a game over, it's going to be really hard. It's an uphill battle at that point. I really do believe that.
Before we went on break, I was going to ask you, who's the greatest football player you ever saw?
Well, Walter Payton. You know, I was fortunate enough to have been his teammate and watch him play. And it's one of those things that, you know, he did what he did on very average teams for the most part throughout the majority of his career. It wasn't until the end of our career with Mike Ditka as the head coach that you of his career that you really saw, you know, him have that kind of team success that he wanted so much, and that he was part of a Super Bowl championship team. I mean, that's why by far for my era, to me, he was the greatest football player ever. Just he could do so many great things, not just run the football, but he was a willing blocker. He threw the ball. He has something like 7 or 8 touchdown passes that he had thrown on halfback passes. He's just one of those guys. He was a tremendous player and an even better person.
Pretty hard to argue with that answer. Lynn, as you know, as Ron's college roommate and friend for so many years, when you watch him play, what's kind of going through your mind? Are you kind of nervous, or even when he's coaching? I guess I should have said when you did watch him play, and now when he's coaching, what goes through your mind?
Way more nervous watching him coach, you know, given his responsibility and fan bases that, you know, live and die by every play. Watching him play was fun. I remember plays and days that he had at Cal. He had 26 unassisted tackles against Arizona one day, and I think that record still holds. He made a play at Texas A&M for a safety in the last minute in a tie game that won the game 19-17 and quieted that 12th man up down there. And that was it was just an unbelievable individual effort. So watching him play was easy and fun. Gearing up for Sunday mornings, you know, getting ready to watch, you know, the Commanders play or Carolina play. That's a little different story, but certainly invested and you know, our hearts and souls just and die on Sundays with this guy for sure.
Well, and it's not like somebody said, well, we're going to put you in the easiest division we've got. You've got some pretty stiff competition there, huh?
Yeah, we do. You know, it is probably right now the strongest division in the NFL, you know, with Philadelphia at the top of it and then Dallas and New York and then us. I mean, you know, for the most part, you know, our division finished with a 500 or better record. You know, we were the only team to beat Philadelphia in the regular season with Jalen Hurts still playing. So, you know, we have some promise to who we can be as a football team. So it's exciting. It's enjoyable. It's what I've done, you know, for about 36 years of my life, as far as professional football is concerned. If you throw Cal in, I'm 40 years of major quality football, and that's a big deal. I mean, I've been very fortunate to have been in this this league that long and have played this type of football for that long.
Ron Rivera, head coach of the Washington Commanders, and Lynn Christopoulos, a member at El Macero Country Club. We started this conversation talking about the two of you teaming up at the AT&T National Pro-Am. Lynn, what does the game mean to you? I mean, when you go out to tee it up with some friends, tell me what goes through your mind and what the game of golf really does for your psyche and I guess your overall well-being.
It's hard to describe. It's just a level of excitement. Every time you tee it up, you get excited. The great thing about golf is that you get four quality hours with quality friends, and the friendships that are generated from the time that you're actually playing the game, the interaction, the smack that I would say that you talk throughout the course of a round, and just the challenge of you against a golf course and trying to always be better. There's just nothing like it. I'm playing tomorrow and I can't wait to get out there and play. And I know that there's, you know, atmospheric rivers pouring through California right now in Northern California, but we're going to sneak it in right in between the window so that we can enjoy the game and enjoy the camaraderie. I love playing with Ron. I love playing with friends. My wife plays. It's a tremendous game, and being on the inside, watching those pros play, like Ron was talking about, the level of respect that you have for these guys is unbelievable. The way they grind and the way they focus, and the way they handle adversity. Our guy, our pro went double, triple to start and ended up finishing two over that day at Spyglass, and to watch him compete was really, really special.
You know, everybody's got someone really, really good at their club and, you know, maybe more than one, and they even might be plus handicaps, but it's hard. I mean, there is no comparison between them and the PGA Tour pros. And that had to be quite a treat, Ron, to be out there with them and not only the pro you were playing with, but to kind of hang around some of the other pros as well.
Oh, most certainly. I mean, it's one of the really neat things because, you know, I was fortunate enough to have been a professional athlete, And I've been around basketball players, been around Michael Jordan, you know, and you know, the ultimate like that. And you know, I've been on the inside of baseball and been around the White Sox and the Cubs when I was in Chicago, and, you know, got to see White Sox winning championships, see the Cubs winning championships. I mean, that to me was tremendous. Now, having gotten the opportunity to get inside the ropes and be around Jordan Spieth and be around Rory and some of the other guys, you know, I've played with Phil Mickelson, I've played with Harold Varner, and it's really cool. You know, Hayden Buckley, I played with last year at the Wells Fargo, just got a hole in one on the island hole in the TPC Championship. I mean, it's amazing to be around those guys and watch them. Like I said, and I've had my fanboy experience. I've met Jack Nicklaus. I've met Arnold Palmer. I mean, these are some really cool memories that golf has given me. And Lindo mentioned this. You know, my wife plays. My wife's about a 5 handicap.
Wow.
And you know, she grew up playing tennis and basketball, so she's athletic and she understands, you know, competition. And it's fun to play and get away. You know, it golf has been my escape from what Lynn said, and that is the crowd. You know, my life is constantly revolving around football, and it's revolving around a fan base that lives and die with every decision you make. So when I'm interacting with these folks, I'm constantly hearing about it. So to get on the golf course, to get away from it, that's a pretty cool deal. And like Lindo said, when you're with somebody, you're spending 4 quality hours, whether you like them or not.
Well, you know, Scott, it sounds to me like if we're going to play, we can play with Lynn, but I'm not sure we want to play with Ron's wife.
Oh, she's very good, and she was a great athlete at Cal herself. And your kids are very talented as well, Coach. I'm curious. I know growing up, your idol was Roberto Clemente. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, you know, growing up in a Latino family culture, you know, obviously you gravitate towards who's like you. And as a kid, my dad loved Roberto Clemente, and he became my idol as well. And, you know, he passed suddenly in a terrible plane accident on his way, bringing relief supplies to the country of Guatemala, of Managua, Nicaragua, because of the earthquake that had hit there, I believe it was in 1973. And that made an impact on me. And it was crazy because he died doing something philanthropic. He was giving back. And I think that's kind of influenced me throughout my life in terms of the involvement I have with a couple of charities that are very near and dear to myself. And so it's been really kind of a cool deal to know that, you know, somebody I idolized, somebody I believed in and grew up watching, you know, was kind of that model for me. And that's kind of how it was for me. And the interesting thing is, you know, he was a tremendous baseball player as well. Yeah. That was really a something for me as well.
You know, I know we have a commitment. Your time is a commitment, so we want to make sure we let you go quickly. But there's just a couple questions I would ask both of you. What's your favorite course to play and why?
Oh, wow. Go ahead, Lindo. I'll let you do this one first.
Oh, great. You put me on the spot here. Well, I have had the opportunity to play Pebble, and I think that it's just such a historic, iconic, hallowed grounds. Ron introduced me to Jim Nance when we were down there. And Jim asked me about my experience with, you know, over the weekend and how it was going, and then started into his spiel on the history and who had walked those grounds and the steps that I'm following. And I was just listening to his voice going, wow, Jim Nance is giving me his take on Pebble and history. And it's very, very special. That I would say that course would probably be my favorite. And I'm sure a lot of people would agree. But I'll say this, Frank, I am partial to our home course at El Macero. I think El Macero is one of the better kept secrets in the area and in Northern California. Greens are spectacular, and it's just it's a great course.
But I understand that they're not going to put a plaque up that you caddied here, but Pebble Beach maybe talked into that.
You know, I have to echo that sentiment. That playing Pebble Beach is probably one of my favorite things to do whenever I get the opportunity. I truly do feel the same way Lynn does, and that is just because as you walk that course, you think about all the great things in golf history. You know, you think about those opens and, you know, the shot Tom Watson made and knowing that Tom Kite won there, and then Tiger Woods did what he's done. And then the history and tradition of the old Bing Crosby clam bait. You know, when I was a kid growing up, I used to deliver newspapers for the Monterey Peninsula Herald. And the biggest the newspaper ever got, other than Sundays, was the inserts that we had to deliver for the advertisement of the old Bing Crosby back in the day, because it quadrupled the size of the paper. So it made it heavy. And those were the things that I always remember. But I will say this. One of my favorite rounds of golf I ever played was I got to play Cyprus, and I had just read the book, The Match. And what made it so fascinating to me was, as I walked the course, I could envision the story being told of the match that was played that day by those great golfers.
You know, that for anyone that has not read that book, that's certainly a must do. It's I think it was Mark Frost that wrote it, and it's about a match between Ben Hogan and Byron Nelson, and the two amateurs, Ken Venturi and Harvey Ward. And it's a magical book, as you say. You can envision every word the writer puts on the paper.
Oh, it was I mean, it's so descriptive. As you know, you walk down the fairways, or you're standing on the tee box, and you know, I was thinking about the first par three you hit to, and you hear them describe, you know, the shot that these guys are about to hit, and it's just, I mean, it was so vivid at the time in my memory, and I had read it about 8 or 9 years ago, and so it was really a cool book to have read, and I just truly enjoyed it.
It was a great story when they were thinking about having Cypress Point as one of the courses in the rotation for the clam bake, and most people said to Bing Crosby, I'm sorry, this course is way too tough. The amateurs are never going to be able to get over the water on 16, and it'll be a miserable experience. And so he went out there with a few people and said, well, let's play it and see. And apparently made an ace that day, turned around to everyone else and said, well, it doesn't seem that tough to me. That's golf, gentlemen. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate you being with us. Lynn Christopoulos from El Macero Country Club, and Ron Rivera, the NFL head coach of the Washington Commanders. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being on the Golf to Go Radio Hour. Continued success, Ron. Best success this year. And Lynn, I'll see you on the golf course.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having us.
I appreciate it, Frank and Scott. And, you know, maybe we get Lynn the Tightwad to host me out there, and we can all get together and play a little golf.
That would be a great foursome.
I look forward to that. Back with more on the Golf to Go Radio Hour right after this.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa on Sactown Sports.
Golf to Go Radio Hour continues right here on Sactown Sports 1140. I'm Frank LaRosa, and I've got a couple of guys with me that have a really, really interesting thing going right now. Dylan Rupchuk and Evan Ball are partners in a brand new company. Guys, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having us. Really
absolutely. You know, when I heard what you guys are doing, I was fascinated. I mean, there's been many, many people over the years that thought they've had the next best idea for the golf world. And sometimes it just never goes beyond an idea. Well, you guys have had an idea, and you've decided to follow through on that and develop it and market it. And I'm going to let you announce what it is, but I love the name. And so tell me a little bit about this new venture of yours.
Yeah, so we started a golf ball company here right in Sacramento, California, kind of aimed at your average golf players. And so we kind of feel like we're in the golden age of golf here. There was certainly an influx after COVID. And so we're kind of jumping on the bandwagon of all these these new exciting products that are kind of emerging into the golf industry. And we thought we had something to offer, at least in terms of a golf ball. And so came up with the idea back in probably January of 2022, I think. And we've been rolling for a little over a year now.
Evan, you know, the notion that a couple of guys that have real jobs and have been fascinated with the game have decided to you know, pursue this dream and develop their own golf ball. Where does this come from? What do you do you know, day to day to kind of make a living?
Yeah, so I work in finance right now, and Dylan and I have always just kind of talked about starting a business together, and we didn't really know what that looked like, but last year we just kind of came up with this idea, like, we both love golf, we both love business, like, you know, maybe we can do something with that. And so we came up with this idea of breakfast balls, and we really just kind of started hitting the ground running, finding a manufacturer, figuring out what we needed to do to market it and what we really wanted that brand to be.
Dylan, finding a manufacturer, that had to have some issues as well, huh?
Yeah, that was probably one of the hardest things, ideally, because, again, one of the things that I think we're most proud of our brand is kind of the local connection to the Sacramento region and California in particular. So we had a big goal to manufacture within California or, if possible, within the United States. But all the large golf ball manufacturers companies kind of have a monopoly on those facilities here throughout the United States. And so as far as I can tell, based on many hours of research, is if you're a small golf ball company, you're not manufacturing your balls in the United States. And so we had to certainly explore some options. And we found someone that we really liked that was based in the Netherlands. And kind of during our discussions with them, they were actually bought out by TaylorMade and then kind of prevented us from using them. So we're manufacturing overseas right now in Asia, and we're kind of in hopes of bringing them here at some point, assuming we're able to kind of make the brand successful.
So how, you know, there's obviously a lot of golf balls out on the market and a lot of, you know, multi-million dollars of marketing out there. And, you know, you guys are a couple of local guys that have developed a ball. How do you find a niche with the kind of golf ball that you're trying to create and have it fit into the larger market? And then I suppose, you know, tell me a little bit about the ball and how you've played it and what people are saying about it.
Yeah, so we really felt like there was kind of a gap in the market in terms of the design features. And we kind of thought that if we could deliver to consumers and players kind of the bare necessities in terms of what your average golfer would need by way of performance on the interior of the golf ball, there was a lot of flexibility and room in the market for the actual design of the golf ball. And we kind of felt that because you're looking at these golf balls and they all have cursive writing on them. And, you know, they've been around for forever. And so we thought we could, you know, assuming we're delivering you the performance you want as a player, can offer you some interesting design choices. And we're kind of seeing it in all different areas of golf, whether that be in your golf bag, your golf clubs, your clothing. And so we just felt like it hasn't been something that's been explored at least too thoroughly on the golf ball. And so that was kind of our main motivation and kind of where we're building our niche and hoping to all do that at a price that makes sense for your average weekend golfer.
I'm guessing that, you know, once you had at least the prototype of the ball, you've had some people play it and you know, different kinds of golfers, low handicappers, regular golfers. What were they telling you? And, you know, and did that give you confidence to keep going, or how did that process happen?
Yeah, I mean, early on, we had our ball in the hands of, I mean, Dylan is a single digit handicap and I'm a double digit handicap. Early on, we had our ball in the hands of, you know, people that were near scratch all the way to your, you know, weekend hacker. And everybody, you know, seemed to love it. They loved the design. They were getting the performance that they, you know, wanted, you know, distance off the tee, control around the greens, and really just a lot of positive feedback. So that really was, you know, motivating for us to keep going and, you know, place our next order.
My guess is sometimes when you're dealing with friends, they're going to tell you what they think you want to hear. But the saving grace might be the fact that Dylan is a single digit handicap and, you know, would have more of an idea of how the golf ball is supposed to perform.
Yeah, and we were pretty lucky that early on into debuting our brand, we partnered up with a couple of organizations that we really had no personal relationship with. And so we got a lot of somewhat independent feedback from that as well. And we've been really good about anyone who kind of reaches out to us on social media or through email and is interested in trying our balls, that we want them to try our balls and we want honest feedback. Cause obviously at the end of the day, we're trying to develop a golf ball that makes sense for players that they like, and you know, it's for them. So we love hearing all feedback, whether it's good or bad. I think we've been lucky that it's been mostly good. It seems like kind of the top positive thing we've been hearing is that our ball is particularly good at greenside control. And a lot of players like our ball for that reason.
And most major manufacturers will actually tell you to pick your ball backwards. You know, how's it compare around the green? And, you know, and what it does off the tee is actually somewhat secondary.
Yeah, and that's kind of part of the reason why we picked this first ball. Because, again, right now we just have one ball offering. We're going to be expanding here within the next couple months to two offerings. But the one we picked was largely because of kind of that backwards flowing nature in terms of what is the average player looking for in a golf ball, and what are the bare necessities they need. And kind of one of the common things we saw from kind of some market research we were doing is that a lot of players want a urethane cover golf ball so they can have that control around the greens, and a three piece tended to be important to players as well. And so that's kind of where we've started, and we're certainly moving forward from here.
One of the challenges, obviously, to success with a company, a new company, you can have the greatest golf ball in the world, but if nobody knows about it, you know, how are you going to sell them? So tell me a little bit about your marketing plans and how you guys plan to let the world know about this.
Yeah, I can take that one. So we've really just, like Dylan was saying, you know, anybody that's reached out to us over social media, that's been kind of our main focus, is just getting that social media following, get our name out there, and getting our balls, you know, to anybody that wants to try them out. We were lucky to partner with a couple golf groups early on, which gave us a lot of volume because they had hundreds of members that were, you know, getting to try our balls out and give us feedback. And so we've just been continuing to try to do that, you know, really just grow our social media following, and really just reach as many people as we can.
Yeah, and we
go ahead.
I was going to say, and we've been lucky that, again, this is kind of piggybacking off the I think the golden age we're in golf is where there's a lot of content out there. There's a lot of YouTube channels that are really focused in the industry. And so we've been lucky to partner with a lot of them in terms of getting our brand out there. That's kind of indirect marketing, if you will, because it's through their pages. And then recently we've partnered up with Hagen Oaks here locally in Sacramento as kind of another way to get our product in front of people. Because we just feel like that's the most important. If people pick up our box and look at our ball, we think that we have something that's appealing enough to have a consumer want to try it out. And so it is really just trying to get in front of as many people as possible and letting them kind of make their own judgments.
You know, I come from a time where traditional marketing was the only way you were able to let the world know about things. But the social media platforms that are available now and the social media influencers and so on and so forth create a whole new way for you to let the world know. And obviously that's where you're headed. And it's much more economical, obviously, to do it that way. What kind of success are you having beyond, you know, are you getting influencers involved and those kinds of folks?
Yeah, so we've partnered with a couple of companies, and so we kind of have a couple of different ways we're doing it. We partner with a kind of a membership committee, which is based in Northern California, and they're not necessarily social in nature. They just put on events throughout Northern California, and so we'll partner with them as a brand partner and provide their members balls and a relationship like that. But on top of that, we partner with a couple of YouTube channels, and they're kind of in the more golf influencer realm. And me and Evan were actually in Las Vegas this previous weekend playing in one of those YouTube channels' first inaugural golf tournaments, which was fun. And they had a bunch of exciting sponsors out there, and we were lucky to be one of them. And so we're definitely seeing that it's kind of with their growth, we're growing with them as well, and vice versa. And so it's an exciting time for sure.
You mentioned you're at the Hagen Oaks Golf Super Shop, and certainly that's one of the premier golf shops and golf facilities I was going to say in the country, but probably in the world. That's got to make you feel good that they're carrying your product.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Dylan.
I was going to say, I feel like we feel very lucky, mainly because, you know, we're very proud of Sacramento and having been from here. And it just so happens that we have one of the best golf super shops in the nation located here. And so we thought it was important, at least from a foot traffic and I guess a product visibility standpoint, to see if we could get in there. And we were lucky enough to establish a good working relationship with Ken over there. We're very happy.
So how many iterations of a name did you go through before you came up with the name Breakfast Balls, which I think is an incredible name.
It was really kind of our first, like I said, you know, Dylan and I, we're always talking business ideas. And last year we just happened to be sitting around talking about business ideas and kind of threw out this crazy idea that we're going to start a golf ball company and we're going to call it Breakfast Balls. And yeah, it was really just kind of our first stab at a name for a golf ball company, and it stuck.
So how do people find out more about your company, find out more about you, and find out other ways to get a hold of the golf ball?
Yeah, so we have a website, and that's primarily where we do pretty much all of our sales. It's breakfastgolfballs.com, and then we have a pretty good presence on Instagram at breakfast.golf.balls. There's a lot of breakfast balls related Instagrams out there, so we had to put some periods in there, but that's probably where you can find out more information, the most about our ball and our products and kind of future things that are coming. And then obviously, since we are in kind of have a local presence there in the Hagen Oak Super Shop now, you can actually go in and grab a dozen of our balls and take a look at some of the literature that's on there as well.
And the price is attractive as well. Did we talk about that?
Yeah, we haven't talked about it yet, but we would be happy to. And that was kind of something that was very important to us, because again, at the end of the day, you know, we're not creating a golf ball, at least at this stage, for the Scotty Shufflers of the world. We're creating them for people like me and Evan. And to us, I think it made sense to, if we can provide players something that performs, you know, and does everything they need them to do, providing it to them at a reasonable price point is going to make it all the more attractive. And obviously, you know, amateur golfers are losing golf balls quite frequently. So if we can make that cost analysis a little bit more attractive, that's ideal. And so our retail is $34.99, and that's what we sell them for. Typically, we run deals, and actually there's a benefit to players, at least on our website, if they buy three dozen at a time. I think it brings the cost down to about $28 per dozen, which I think for a three-piece urethane golf ball makes us one of the more competitive price points in the market.
Yeah, and also
go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, we also offer a local discount too. So I believe we still have that up on our website. So if you are local to the Sacramento area, we are offering a discount for locals as well.
Fascinating idea. I love the name Breakfast Balls, and I wish you nothing but success. And I'm going to try it myself. Dylan Rupchuk and Evan Ball, the owners, creators, designers, players of the Breakfast Ball. Thanks much for being with us on Golf to Go Radio Hour.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you, Frank.
Golf to Go Radio Hour wraps up another show here on Sactown Sports 1140. Scott Marsh, thanks for being with us.
Always great, Frank, because I love talking to our guests. I mean, this is so much fun to learn and just to be a part of the game.
Absolutely. And as I've said so many times, it is a game. Have some fun and keep smiling out there. It actually makes your golf mates wonder what it is that you know that they don't. And that's, you know, any bonus, any effort that you can be a little bit better on the golf course. You know, if it smiles, does it, that's good enough for me. We'll be back with more next week right here on Sactown Sports 1140 for Golf to Go Radio Hour. I'm Frank LaRosa. Keep it in the fairway.